Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's a discussion of the latest entertainment news and celebrity gossip that go beyond the headlines. Welcome to Daily Pop, the podcast edition.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to a Monday edition of Daily Pop. I'm Carissa here with Aaron Lim and Morgan Stewart. We have a big show today. Okay, starting with Britney Spears' 2007 breakdown. Was it worse than we thought? A new documentary is making bombshell claims. We're going to dig into that. Then Nicki Minaj is slamming Wendy Williams for comments she made about Nicki's husband. We'll tell you what is going on there. Plus, Hailey Bieber shuts down an online troll who criticized Normani. Was it okay for Hailey to step in and respond? Today, we also have Dr. Oz stopping by in just a few, and get ready to see some beautiful, expensive bling. Celebrity jeweler Neil Lane is joining us live in studio in just a little bit. All right, but first, a new documentary is diving into new allegations surrounding Britney Spears' 2007 breakdown. Britney Spears' Breaking Point aired on Channel 5 in the UK and covered a whole bunch, including the infamous night Britney shaved her head. The salon owner was actually interviewed in the documentary and says Britney came in with two bodyguards. They were supposed to keep an eye out so the paparazzi would not get pictures, but the owner claims that one of them kept opening the blinds. Ugh. The owner realized days later that he was opening the blind because a photographer was hiding to take pictures. So a former executive editor of Hello Magazine's U.S. edition says in the doc, "I would not be surprised at all if people around Britney weren't getting a kickback. The bodyguards were allowing the paparazzi to take photos." That's exactly what they weren't supposed to do. Any eye-openers from reading about this documentary? I mean, is that surprising to you?
I feel like when I read the article this morning, I feel like everything that I read about it was something that I totally expected, and I feel like happens more often than not. I feel like the people that are closest to you that are supposed to be protecting you, when you're at that level that Britney's on with that Uber fame, so I feel like Britney has that level of fame. Whitney Houston had that level of fame. Justin Bieber has that level of fame. Like, there's a very select group of people. And I think when you get to the point that Britney was in, when she had been famous for so long and she started to, I don't even know the right way to put it, but she wasn't as mentally healthy as she probably should have been. She probably was a little bit more trusting, and people were able to take advantage, and they did. And that's the unfortunate part about being somebody in that position, because what are you supposed to do? That's why you need people like your parents to step in and take conservatorship and get a hold of things.
And that's exactly what happened.
Right.
I mean, it was around that time Jamie had to step in.
Yeah.
And I'm not surprised by that either, because I think with everything that happened when she had that breakdown, it was an extreme cry for help. It was like, hello, I can't handle this on my own. I need someone to just step in and take control. And unfortunately, that control lasted for a long time, and then people started seeing her as being a prisoner to her own family. But I think, as far as the trust thing goes, I think we as a people naturally trust each other until someone is proven untrustworthy.
Yeah.
And sadly, that is what happened. And she probably didn't even realize.
Unless you've been scorned so many times.
Right.
And that may be where she has reached at this point in her life. She probably trusts nobody.
Exactly. I think, or
except
maybe,
for a select few.
Right. And there are people that I think I'm always overly trusting and make jokes at my own expense. And then after, I'm like, why did I say that? That person is not the person to say that in front of. And then, so that's why other people need to come in and be like, if you're not going want to sort of rid yourself of the habit of being overly trusting, we need to stand in the middle of that. And that's what happens also when celebrities get more famous and they get more guarded because they've been so scorned so many times. And then people are like, well, she's not polite. She's not nice.
Right.
It's like, well, she can't be nice to every single person. She needs a second between you and
her. And that's just so sad that we can't trust people. And yeah, you would think the people closest to me, the people who are supposed to protect me, I'm paying you
to be my bodyguard.
Exactly. Like, I'm not going to worry that you're letting the paparazzi get a shot because, yeah, you're paid to not let that happen. And sadly, those bodyguards probably got a healthy amount of money.
Oh, a healthy amount of money.
Those clean shots of her shaving her head.
But I was just
going to
say, that was not opening of the blinds. That was a full blind lift up. That was full access to that. We saw video. I mean, we saw her shave her whole head.
Yeah. So the owner explained how exactly what happened. She said that when she came in, she said, I want to shave my head. The owner was like, tomorrow's another day.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this. Let's have a conversation. And Brittany's like, no, I want to shave my head. And she's like, I was still going to try to talk her out of it, but the phone rang. So I went to go answer the phone. When I came back, Brittany had already grabbed the razor and was like starting to do it herself.
Oh my God, I remember.
Brittany knew. She even said that Brittany knew her mom was going to be so mad. And that's why I'm like, okay, this was her having her cry for help. This is her saying, like, okay, I know my parents are going to come in and do something, so I'm just going to do something crazy to get the attention that
it was almost like she needed to take control.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, also in the documentary, a dance studio boss who has known Brittany since 1998 weighed in on her relationship with her dad. She says she was spiraling out of control. She was going through the worst time of her life and needed help. Her dad stepped in and gave her the help she needed. If he hadn't, things could have been very different. I don't think she would still be with us today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of people see that as well and recognize that, aside for the people who think she's still
Free Britney. You know, I think the people who are still on Free Britney are still going to be on Free Britney for, I don't think this is going to change their opinion, because I do imagine that many of them can also agree that at this point in Britney's life, this was the right call and this did help Britney for many, many years.
100%.
Whether she still needs the conservatorship, you know, that's up for the courts to decide. But I think that I think that right now this is working really well.
I think so. And I agree. I mean,
not that it's Jamie anymore. Now it's...
Yeah.
He has still the financial part.
Her manager now
has other parts. Now I've got to remember.
Her father stepped down after the whole incident with her kid and the
violence thing. That's right.
Right, which is,
Anyhoot. Long story short, I don't think the documentary is going to air here, but you can read all about it online. It's quite interesting.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to Nicki Minaj and her epic takedown of Wendy Williams. It happened on Nicki's most recent Queen radio show after Wendy mocked the rapper's husband, Kenneth Petty, and his criminal past. First, let's watch Wendy last month after going after Kenneth, and then hear how Nicki responds.
He served 7 years in prison. And he's also a sex offender. Well, Nicki, congratulations.
Every time you mention him, you feel the need to bring him up, as well as something that he was wrongfully accused of doing when he was 15 years old, all because he didn't have $7,000 to get himself bailed out. When a woman isn't really being loved at home, the viciousness is a different type. You paid for her shopping sprees, you paid for her hotels, you probably even paid for her GYN bills. You paid to have that baby delivered. And I know that you must have gone through a lot, but you are demonic.
And there's a lot more to that. That's only just a clip. Despite going in hard on Wendy, she does say at the end that she is praying for her. She had been mentioned how Wendy had gone after her and Kenneth in the past, but let it go, especially with the hard times that Wendy's gone through.
Oh God. I'm very confused. Okay, so I obviously, do you have more to read? Am I cutting
you off? No, you're good.
Okay, good. I know what that's like. When I read this, I mean, first of all, Nicki was so calm in the way she said it. So I genuinely feel like Nicki was like, she didn't necessarily say this, but I think her sentiment was just like, stop coming for other people when you have a closet full of You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I do believe there is a difference. You can report on the news, and then there are people that are vindictive and don't stop pushing. And I'm not saying that Wendy is doing that, but I just think, unfortunately, Wendy has found herself in a position with whatever's gone on in her own personal life, which we all have our stuff. But you know what? Like, Nicki's in love. She's happy. She seems to be in a good place in her life. She's calm. This is the man she's chosen. We all have our baggage. Like, if you're going to come for her and start coming after a man and saying all these things, you can't have
the shit you have
going on in your life.
No, I agree.
I disagree.
I think she can because she has the shit and she's owned it, just like Nikki's owned it too. Like, the stuff that they're calling each other out for is no new information.
No, totally.
We've known about Nikki's husband's past, right?
Sure.
We've talked about that's been in the news. That's been everywhere. Wendy, we know about her ex-husband's whole mistress situation. Wendy's acknowledged
it. Do you think that's fair game to come after Nicki Minaj? I feel like Wendy asked for this.
I agree.
And Nicki's not just going to hear someone, especially Wendy, talk about her man and speak about his past, which I'm sure
And she said some... There was some stuff. She said some
she
things.
She was being shady.
She said she paid for that. Which
Nikki's
one?
Nikki's obviously Nikki going to come for her. They're both being very petty at the end of the day. Nikki could have just taken the high road, but hello, this is Nicki Minaj. She's
also
not going to take the high road.
She's taken the high road, she said before. I just think it's one of those things where I think they're two very successful women. They're both very powerful. They both have dealt with a lot of things. And I think Nikki's probably just like, don't come after me. Like, we're all kind of in this together.
Yeah.
You want to report on things like everyone else did, get it. No new information. You're right about that. You don't need to further extend it by hitting below the belt.
Yeah, that was a below the belt.
It was
comment.
Below the belt. And you know, that's the thing that's tricky when you're somebody.
It's also, you know, any woman who knows this, after you've just gotten married, it's such a happy time in your life, or after you just had a child, it's such a happy time in your life, and you're like, if anybody has anything negative to say about that monumental moment in your life, you're like, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
are you kidding me at any time? You can pick on me any time of my life if you want. Go back in my music videos, make fun of my raps, whatever you want to do, but don't be talking about my man and my marriage. I just got married, for crying out loud.
Especially when you're
dealing... Let me enjoy my high.
When you have all the crap,
yeah,
I don't know why I can't find another word for it today, but that's like, you have a lot to deal with, and that's what, you know...
But I don't think Wendy's going to respond, because there's nothing more either of them can say. They both called each other out for whatever stuff is in their backyard.
So. It is.
I think she would have responded now.
Can we come up with another word? Ask somebody on
She's
Twitter.
She's going through some
ish.
Yeah, I think that if Wendy was going to respond, today would have been the day. She would have already made her comments. I think she's just not going to engage, because it's just going to go on and on. And then she's probably afraid of what else Nikki has to say. Those were some fighting words,
That
too.
Was...
You're paid for the baby to get delivered.
That's
painful.
By the way.
Ouch.
Not untrue, probably, though, right?
That's what's the shadiest about it all.
We like both women. We don't want you to fight anymore.
Exactly. 100%
truce.
Agree with that.
Truce.
Okay.
Truce.
All right. The holidays are very stressful, right? They're stressful enough without introducing your family to your new significant other. So that's the premise of Netflix's new sitcom, Merry, Happy, Whatever. The show stars Dennis Quaid and Ashley Tisdale, and it launches globally on Thanksgiving. Here's what Ashley had to say about bringing her own partner home for the holidays.
So you're both married ladies. Was anyone in your family like Don is when you guys brought your men into the family?
My dad. Yeah, not as hardcore as Don, but definitely my dad. You know, with like having two girls, like it's me and my sister, he's protective over us. And so it was definitely like, you know, whenever we brought any guy over, especially my husband, it was like, you know, it was kind of like, let's see how long you stick around. Mm-hmm. But now he's like, wow, 5 years. He's been here for a long time. Yeah. Like, thanks, Dad. Thanks.
Her dad reminds me so much of my dad.
Every dad. Every dad's like, all right.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we'll see. And then like when you see the turn, you're like, we are turning. You
right?
like him.
And it comes like years later.
But then you break up. He's like, oh, I didn't think he was the one.
Oh,
it's like,
my gosh.
Dad,
yes.
You liked him.
And you could have been together for 12 years. And then I never thought that was going to work.
So 12 years, doesn't matter. My mom's like, your father's weird, just let it be.
My dad always did this thing whenever I'd bring a guy home, he immediately would put them to work. He'd be like, oh, it's nice to meet you. I'm cutting wood for the fire downstairs. Will you go cut wood for me? So it was like manual labor. He was like, oh good, another man in the house. I need more shit done. So, I did so good that whole last block when it was so much more appropriate to say it. And then
it's fine.
It
here
comes out there.
You're entitled to one.
You ever brought a man home on Christmas Day?
Okay,
no.
So to me, this
you don't
is,
do it on the day.
And also, this is one of those things, like, this only happens in the movies. Like, for you, I feel like it makes sense. Like, if you live somewhere else than where you actually live and you meet your man there, and you tell your parents, look, I'm dating somebody, I'm going to bring him home because we're at that point. But when you're in Los Angeles, and not that people don't come from other places. But I live here. My parents live here. The people that I've been with all have lived here. So I'm never like, come. They would have met at dinner before. So this is just not a reality. But if I marry someone else who, let's say, lives in New York or whatever, and that happens, and I have to go meet his family.
It's very likely to happen
on Christmas Day.
Oh, God.
I feel like everyone's like,
I need a blowout.
Go a couple days early, right?
And glam. It's going to be stressful. Anyway.
Okay. Have the parents come to LA to meet you. There you go. Fly them in.
Bring them to set.
Yeah, I think everyone's really joyous over the holidays, but they're also really stressed. And I feel like that's not the time to be like, hey, here's my mom and my dad. And, you know, they're getting ready to entertain 50 other people. And we didn't get you a present. Like, no.
And go cut the wood.
And go cut the wood. No.
And can you make sure that turkey's not Christmas? What do people eat on Christmas?
Tamales in my house.
Oh, my gosh. Really? We have like a whole smorgasbord. Everybody just brings something and it just ends up being
God, I feel like we have
a huge feast of random stuff.
Yeah, I don't even
better get on it, girl. Get ready for those holidays.
Oh, the holidays.
It's coming. Halloween's done, you guys.
By the way, that Halloween was 2 months long. I feel like people were really dressing up for that Halloween for a long time.
People were excited.
We're done with that. Yeah.
Okay, coming up, we want to know what you guys think about our top story so far. So hit us up using hashtag DailyPop. Hailey Bieber steps in to shut down a Normani hater. Was it okay for Hailey to clap back at a troll? We're going to get into that when Daily Pop continues. Stay with us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Reading your thoughts on bringing a significant other home during the holidays. Brittany says she brought her boyfriend home on Easter. She writes, my parents and siblings had already met him, but I threw him into the lion's den with the rest of our 30-plus relatives, and it went well. And 5 years later, we're all one big dysfunctional family.
Oh, that's
sweet. Eventually you have to pull the Band-Aid off and say, all right, time to meet the extended family. I mean, always happens.
That just happened this weekend.
How'd it go?
Oh, my God.
It was great.
Was it great?
I don't know if it was the right setting, but it was okay.
Where'd you meet?
I'd rather not say.
Okay. But you were okay. You're happy.
Yeah. They all loved him. Good. They like kind of like saw him, knew of him before, and then it was finally like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. Like, tell me about your life.
That's the best
feeling. Did he do well?
He was playing with all my nephews.
Oh, like, it's all about the kids.
Oh, when all the kids just came on to him, it was like, everyone was like, oh, yeah, hard eyes.
Oh, I love it.
God. It's great.
Okay, good. Happy about that. Okay, so Christine says, my now husband met my whole family for the first time at a Thanksgiving dinner. I couldn't even attend because I had to work. My 3-year-old daughter was his date. Okay, well,
wow.
You're going to bring the daughter. You already won everybody over. Yep, are you kidding
that
me?
That is a lot.
That's stepdad material. Okay. And Victoria says, introduced my then boyfriend of 1.5 years to my entire family at my grandma's birthday party. He was terrified. 10 years later, and we are married, and they love him more than they love
me. That also happens. They always love your spouse more than they love you.
Until you break up.
Yeah.
And then they say, I never liked him anyway.
Yeah, it's so true.
Or maybe they're still DMing them and hanging out and having a great time.
That
I don't know.
Could happen, too.
If your mom's DMing your ex-boyfriend, there's another issue going on.
Oh, but Kris Jenner did that with the...
I'm not on camera. Take me off the camera. Is it gone? Glam today, though.
Let's talk about Hailey Bieber. So Hailey Bieber is coming to Normani's defense. Normani dressed up as Cher for Halloween. And one critic was not crazy about her look. The person wrote, I don't think this is the right costume for a black girl. Oh. Cher is white and Cher was thin. Then the person suggested Normani be Beyonce, Rihanna, or Janet. Well, Hailey saw the comment and clapped back saying there's absolutely nothing wrong with this costume. Hailey wrote, she can do it because she wants to. She is doing much better than you. You're behind a computer complaining about a costume. Stop being a racist and get out of her page if you don't like it.
Yeah. Wow, that was put a lot more elegantly than I would have put it. I did not realize she said she was white and thin. I did not.
Those were the main jabs.
Out of effing control. Somebody like that.
Look at that body and say something like that.
Any of it.
Also,
by the way,
even the rich comment is so freaking wild that people are still saying things.
That's a
like
person
this.
Who should not be allowed to have Instagram.
No, and you know what? Those are the people who are the loudest on Instagram.
Yes, the ones are. That are so disturbed. I mean, this was incredible. I loved it. When I saw it, I was like, "Go, girl!" I mean, I've never seen nobody has done a share like that.
Do you expect your friends to clap back at the trolls on your Insta?
I always appreciate when they do. I don't necessarily, it's not like a job, but if somebody were to write something ridiculous on one of your guys' pages and it was bolded and I saw it, I would definitely respond.
Yeah, I never would expect that. And I don't think like, oh, my friends should do that. I would do that for my friends. If I saw someone making some crazy comment, heck, if they're not even my friends, if I saw that on Normani's page, I probably would have come to her defense 100%. Too if I saw it quick enough. But I just think it's so crazy that people have the audacity to hide behind the faces of their screens and to make these comments that they would not make in real life. Mm-hmm. I doubt this person would ever go up to Normani and say that.
I know.
Usually these trolls never could say these things in person. So good for you for having the courage to go off behind your phone, but you're lame. Goodbye. You're canceled.
You're
canceled.
Thank
you, Hailey Bieber.
Do we know? We should all like flood. Never mind. That was amateur, but I just would have done.
Yeah,
nasty.
You would have taken a step further.
I mean,
I think it's cool to stand up for your friends. I don't think you have to feel obligated to, because sometimes the comments are so stupid. We can all read them and do an eye roll and be like, "You're ridiculous."
Yeah. But this person needed to know how dumb they sound.
Yeah.
So, I don't think they realize. But you cannot write things like that.
No,
not at all. It is not okay.
It is not.
It's worse to think them, but to write them,
exactly.
Not even.
All right, guys, up next, Dr. Oz is here. We're talking about his show and so much more. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Hey, Dr. Oz.
How are you, beautiful? I know you have a chemical addiction, but the emotional addiction is a bigger problem because you started when you were so young. See, at age 12, you began to think, I can't do those things. I can't be dog if I don't have a cigarette going like this.
Right.
And then you actually believe that BS. And here you are, a grown man, world famous, and you still believe it. Whereas everyone watching, I hope, is realizing that you're still dog with or without a cigarette in your hand.
Right.
But if you don't believe that deep in your heart, dog, then of course you're not going to give it up.
Oh, that's so true. From medical advice to life advice, he helps us with it all. Please welcome Dr. Oz to the show.
Thank you.
That was a clip of Dog the Bounty Hunter on your show. You talked to him about a smoking addiction. He was up to how many packs a day?
Four packs a day. And he started smoking 44 years ago when he was age 12, which is why I was having that little intervention. Because people beat themselves up by being smokers, or frankly, any addiction they may have. But so much of it was hardwired when your brain wasn't quite mature. And our brain is not really mature till 23, 24. I don't care what you say. Mm-hmm. It's just the reality of it. And even though I didn't think that was true when I was that age, it is true. So if you fall prey to addictive behaviors before that age, it's much, much harder to get off it.
Interesting.
I was just going to say, do you think that you can quit after a first-time attempt?
Well, statistically, you'll fail. The first time you try to stop smoking or most addictive behaviors, you'll trip up. Maybe you'll work 1 in 4 times. But every time you try, you get that much more benefit. So the average smoker has to try 5-6 times before they stop. It's okay. Look, we're designed to be flawed. The beauty about humanity is not getting everything right the first time. Yeah. It's being resilient enough to bounce back when we have error. So Dog was doing okay when his beautiful wife Beth was with him. But when he lost her and he lost control of the car of his life, went off the rails, he began to be fearful of knowledge, of information. He didn't want to see what was out there. My actual intervention with Dog didn't start when he came on my show. He called me. He was in Colorado, had a terrible chest pain. They had taken him to the hospital. He left against medical advice, which is the worst thing you can write in the chart, leaving AMA, against medical advice. And why would you leave? Because you're scared of the results. Mm-hmm. But the reality is we fear most of what we don't understand. If you really appreciate that knowledge is power, you'll stay there, you'll get the information, then you'll deal with it. Because usually you'll be, and we did. We took him to the hospital, we got the test done, and that's what today's show's about.
So have you had any updates from him since
All
then?
The time. No, we talk and text all the time. Okay. I've got a whole team pestering him.
Oh, you know,
he's Dog
wow.
the Bounty Hunter, but we're hunting him.
Is he doing better?
He is doing better.
Good. Do you do that with a lot of your clients? You follow up with, or not clients, but your patients and the people that you help. Do you follow up to make sure that they're okay, even though you've helped them maybe one time?
We do. We have a medical unit on the show, consisting of a doctor, of Mike Krupain, but also a whole team of medical students and other physicians and nurses. And so depending on what their role is, they'll get engaged and they'll follow up, and I'll help when I can if it's needed. But oftentimes what they really need is a hand. Not a hand out, a hand up, just to give you a little bit of a pull towards going in the right direction. But when folks get confident that there's someone who cares about them, which is what you really need, then they start doing things. For Dog, it's really his family. Getting them back engaged. Yeah, he lost his wife, but he's got a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
And they love him dearly, and the world's better. He brings light to the world. Yeah. He's out there, he's bringing criminals to justice, but he's doing it now in an interestingly loving way. Mm-hmm. He deserves that same love for himself.
And just probably an accountability partner, someone to just call him on it when he's fallen off.
Yeah, accountability partner is a very polite way of saying it. Yeah,
yeah, basically.
Guys beat themselves up a bit more about that. But you need that. You need someone who's going to, you know, force you to deal with your demons.
I am curious to ask you, because I know that dog likes cigarettes, smokes cigarettes, but the big trend we're seeing today is the e-cigs, the Juuls, are the vapes, is what's worse or better?
So you hear a lot of people actually dying right now from these vape pens and these Juuls.
Oh, dozens. Yes. Yeah. We've done plenty of shows around it. What's most upsetting to me is I think conceptually vaping is better than cigarettes. But the industry was sloppy. The big guys didn't lead. The government didn't regulate. So now you have probably 50% of the $10 billion of products sold to the country are made of their bootleg. Who knows what's in them? Even the stuff that's not bootleg, we don't really know what's in them. And so if you've got 50 chemicals in a cigarette that can cause cancer, 50 carcinogens, you may have that many more substances you don't know that's in a vaping product that's heated up very quickly and then deposited in your lung. That's why these people are dying. They're basically, we think it's some of the oils and fats are being aerosolized into your lung. You're basically aging your lungs decades with one puff. Who wants that risk? So I'm hoping they clean the industry up. You have a couple people who behave themselves, who are reputable, and it gets regulated so you can't just have willy-nilly product out there, because we need solutions for smokers. And the same happens to be true for medicinal use of marijuana. If you're vaping marijuana, you want that to be safe. It does have medicinal benefits, but only if the stuff's not going to kill you while you're taking the dose.
Well, what medication? Trust who right. made it for you.
What if you took a pill that might kill you because of the coating, but not because of the actual pill? Who would take that? Nobody. Yeah. But you would never let it happen. We've allowed it to happen, and I think that sloppy behavior is going to penalize the industry, because fundamentally we've got to decide, are you a force for good or evil? If you're a force for good, well, it just lied. But if the country thinks you're a force for evil, they're going to shut it down.
Yeah. Interesting take. I love it. Okay, well, before we move on, I have to talk about your new spinoff show that you're going to be co-hosting with your daughter. That is so cute.
Actually, I'm not co-hosting with her. Daphne's already on my show doing The Dish. Every Wednesday, she's on with Ilaria and Alec Baldwin this Wednesday, for example. They come on, they play, we have a good time together. But she's launching her own show.
The Good Dish.
The Good Dish, Vanessa Williams, a bunch of superstars, Rika Pessoa. And it's going to be a show. The reason we call it The Dish, The Good Dish, is because we want you to make dishes, because everyone's big question is, what am I going to make for dinner?
Yes.
But we want you to dish about life while you're doing that. And historically, that's where a lot of big conversations have happened, right? In your home, in your kitchen, where you're doing stuff, you're just, you know, talking next to each other about things that really matter while you're making food that everyone's waiting for.
Yeah. Well, and Daphne's learned a lot from you. Okay. And she's a very smart girl, so I can't wait to watch that. That sounds really good. Will you stick around for a little bit?
I'd love to.
Okay, because we want to ask you about some of our topics. Okay, he's going to join us at the desk in just a little bit. Plus, don't forget, you can...
If you like a good murder mystery story, you'll love June's Journey, a free hidden object mobile game where Detective June Parker unravels the mystery of her sister's death. Travel back to the beautifully illustrated 20s, find clues, discover hidden objects, and watch the story unfold with new chapters released weekly. Put your detective skills to the test. Download June's Journey on Android or iOS. Or play online via Facebook games.
We're back with Dr. Oz, and we want to get his opinion on some of our topics. So let's start with Demi Lovato. So she just did her first interview in more than a year. She's been focusing on her health ever since suffering a near-fatal overdose in July 2018. At this weekend's Teen Vogue Summit, Demi talked about self-love and how she spent so many years trying to put on the role model front rather than being herself. She's learned life is not worth living unless you're living for yourself. And quote, if you're doing things for other people, it's not going to work out. So, Dr. Oz, answer me this. How do you balance being there for others, but also putting yourself first?
Well, if you really want to put yourself first, you'll do things for others. Not because they want you to do it, but because that's part of the safety net of humanity. And if you look at people who've got everything, but never do things for other people, they're living an empty existence.
Yeah, I was just going to say that usually it is when you are being selfless and you're giving to others and you're living a life of generosity, that's when you truly feel fulfilled.
But being generous is not the same as sacrificing yourself. So this is the great commandment, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Mm-hmm. Does it say be nice there? No.
No.
You're not supposed to be nice. You're supposed to be honest and helpful and giving. energetically. I can tell you, listen, I don't think you're doing the right thing for yourself. Here's the reasons I think that. And I love you dearly, which is why I'm taking the chance of telling this. Or I can just write you off or be harsh. Or, you know, there's 50 different ways you can deliver that message. When done correctly, it elevates all of us. What Demi Lovato is doing is critically important for that reason. She's putting herself at risk. She's re-exposing herself to what she went through in order to discuss it. And she's also being honest about the fact that it happened, which I treasure when folks who have a lot of notoriety, who can influence a lot of people that I can't get to, for example, because mm-hmm. she's speaking to a different audience, they're going to hear her and they're going to change how they're thinking about the world around them because of that. That's really being generous. Yeah. That's truly giving of your spirit. And that's probably going to be one of her solves. She's a very bright woman.
Yeah.
And incredibly insightful, not just about her own illnesses, but the world in general. To put that together, she could be a voice for good. And absolutely. That's what she's doing.
So basically, she's got it down. She's doing it right now. Self-love
and
giving.
She's like learning to get it. I don't think any of us have it down, you know, but yeah. I think that when she has these self-realizations and all of these life experiences, that adds to her being able to help people.
There's also that self-love of taking into consideration how much others love you and taking care of yourself because you love them back,
and
right?
And you matter. And yeah. you matter to them. How many people, if you're sitting home now, think for a second, how many of you would be hurting dear friends or loved ones if you had a problem medically? So it's when I'm in my office and I still practice medicine and I'm dealing with a patient who's just being recalcitrant, they don't want to deal with whatever their problem is. All I do is I look around the room and say, these people brought you because they love you. Mm-hmm. All they want you to do is love yourself as much as they love you.
Aww, right? So
and
true.
That's whether you're overeating is the best example. If someone that you love was putting that food in your mouth, what would you tell them? Tell yourself that.
Mm.
Right? Ultimately, that's the real message that all the deep faiths have always taught us. Treasure yourself, not because you're better than everybody else, but because you've got a little bit of God in you. We all do.
Yeah. That's a word right there.
I love it. All right, now we're going to move on to the next question. We have another thing to ask you about. So, do women and men experience friendship the same way?
Yeah, we need a male perspective, a very yes. wise male
it's
perspective
very feminine
here.
Men's Health Magazine, out now, interviewed 12 experts to figure out exactly how guys make and keep friends. So they learned that men usually have a larger group of friends, but women are better at bonding and building intimacy. Both men and women have about 3 close confidants that they talk to daily. Mm-hmm. But where women like to hang out and chat, men prefer to spend bro time doing activities. Do you think that male and female friendships are different?
Profoundly different.
Profoundly.
But we all have a little masculine energy. We all have a little feminine energy. And so you got to balance that. So you mentioned how the interactions play out, right? So we're talking face-to-face, right? Usually women talk face-to-face. Guys talk shoulder-to-shoulder, like this.
Watching the game.
We're playing sports. We're doing video games. This article actually very cleverly talks about all these different ways that men bond, but it's shoulder-to-shoulder. We're driving, right? We're not looking each other in the eyes. It makes us uncomfortable.
Why?
I think a lot of it is being vulnerable. Yeah. When you look at someone in the eyes and actually just do it, even in your own children's eyes, it makes you incredibly vulnerable because you're peering into their souls.
Yeah.
And they can see yours, which women love because women got it right. I mean, women are just made. They're designed a little more insightfully.
We know how to get vulnerable like that.
But you have to because you've got to be vulnerable to children. You know, you it's really hard to starve a child, but you can kill a child from no love.
Wow.
And with the wrong love as well. So it's really critical that women have that instinctively, and guys have to work on that bit. But there's another big insight that this article shared that I agree with. It takes about 200 hours of being with people to really open up, especially if you're a guy. And it just doesn't happen quickly, and so we rush it sometimes. And I think there's a big message here. You don't need 15 really, really close friends. In fact, the data would support, and I've talked about this in my show, that you just want a couple. 3 is probably the right number. You can't spend that much time with enough people to get close to them. So outside your family, just pick 3 people that are dear to you, invest the effort, be vulnerable to them, help them out. And there's a whole pecking order of how you build up that relationship, but keep those people super close to you because they're your lifeline.
Well, okay, girls, we like to get together and talk about our emotions and our feelings and maybe the last argument we had with our man. Do guys need to do that? They don't really talk about their emotions and feelings.
They
with
might
each
bitch
other.
About us. I don't know that they open up as much as we do.
I think the deeper reality is guys aren't going to have that conversation, even though they want it. But they can express it in different ways. Frankly, you can be it. You can get into tribal issues, like what sports teams you like, and it gives you a way of opening up about your view of life. And then people will help you course correct. I think you're off target. That's how guys do it. Because you know, if we misstep, we get confrontational.
Mm-hmm.
Women forgive each other on saying things that are wrong. They might get catty, but they won't actually scratch each other's eyes out.
Yeah.
Wow.
So good. I love having you here. So much insight.
Thanks for having
perspective.
Me.
Love
Dr.
It.
Oz, you guys. guys. Thank you. All right, up next, when you hear his name, you think bling. Neil Lane is here to talk wedding and red carpet jewelry trends next. Look at those jewels. He has designed some of the most iconic jewelry out there, including the world's for the world's rich and famous. Please welcome jewelry designer and wedding stylist, Neil Lane.
Thank you.
Hello.
Thank you.
We are definitely going to have to talk about People's Choice Awards red carpet trends, but first, we got to talk about wedding bands.
Yes.
You have an incredible new book that celebrates wedding styles. Tell us about how these rings tie in.
Well, I chose six rings, thematic rings. Elegant, lavish, modern, romantic, rustic, vintage, to guide you through your wedding, to help you. If you had the vintage one, hey, what would the stationery look like? What's the wallpaper going to look like? What's the china going to look like? Color, fashion, style, to guide you. It's just like a little guide.
I like that.
Makes so it a little easier.
What are the big wedding trends we're seeing right now amongst celebrities?
Among celebrities, and we're seeing colored stones, we're seeing morganite, we're seeing rose gold, we're seeing lots of detail. So that trend is getting bigger and bigger. There's lots of detail. Very romantic rings are very popular now. Mm. Pear shapes, shapes in general, ovals, marquee shapes, antique shapes, cushion shapes.
What advice do you have for a guy? He's coming in, he's shopping for his girl, he wants to hit the top budget, but he can't decide on which one. How do you help him pick?
Breathe. Just keep on breathing. I'll help you through it.
Yeah. Okay, see, I don't have a ring on this finger, but what size do you recommend?
Well,
I mean, how do you know what size is best?
Will you marry me?
Mr. Lane!
Try this one on.
Well, how many carats is that, baby?
17.
It looks...
Holy crap. I mean, I think I'll go for 17 then. That sounds about right.
That looks good. I think you should do that one.
That's an elegant ring.
What is your favorite trend that's going on for weddings right now?
I like shapes. Yeah. For weddings in general, I think thematic weddings are the best. People like looking at their rings and saying, wait, you know, it's Art Deco. I want this Art Deco theme, black, white, rustic, you know, tablecloths, red and white, checkerboard.
Owning the theme.
I think people are really getting into their weddings and sharing. Sharing is the biggest thing. It's not just about you and the guy. Yeah. It's about your guests. Okay. Welcome them.
Yeah,
you know,
I think that's
a big theme. About welcoming and family.
Okay.
Well, more than ever.
As Chris has said. Go for it, Chris.
Well, will you marry me as well?
Yes. Can I just marry myself again? Because I'm just going to.
She got the romantic one, the morganite, surrounded by diamonds,
in front of it.
Rose gold.
I need another one because.
That's the modern one.
We just want to show them up. That's all.
She's a modern nail, elegant at the same time.
I see the security guards watching us.
No, it's okay.
All right, let's move over here. Let's talk about some red carpet trends for this year's E! People's Choice Awards. Of course, it's this Sunday, November 10th. What are the jewelry trends that we should look for on the celebrities?
Oh, I think what's really popular right now is layered necklaces. There used to be the layered bracelets, which are still popular, but layered necklaces, different periods, Art Deco, Art Nouveau, modern. It's really, really popular. Tina Fey wore this. So that's kind of cool.
Is it ever too risky to go against the trends or to just maybe step outside?
No, if you don't go against the trend, how are you going to create a trend?
Oh,
you've got to do that.
That's a good idea.
Got to do that. Long earrings. Maya just wore these. I mean,
So how often do the celebrities come in with their gowns and try it on all together? Or is it just the stylist comes and says, well, I don't know, it could be this one or this one or this one. How does that work?
It's a mixture. Sometimes they come in with their dress on a hanger.
Yeah.
We have a changing room.
Yeah.
You know? So they come out, we look, yeah. But a lot of times the stylists are doing it. They're speaking to the celebrity, texting pictures, they're talking. Sometimes in such a rush in these award shows, the stars are flying in just the day of, so they don't have time for that. But there's a mad dash now in the hotel, putting the jewels on. Oh my God, it doesn't work. Oh my God, Neil.
Things always do change last minute. So what is a piece of jewelry that is just a statement piece that you can never go wrong with?
Oh, I think we just had a picture of the thing on of Sandra Oh wearing that recently.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
But that originally belonged to this great, great iconic figure,
ooh.
Zsa Gabor.
Oh!
There she is.
Oh,
and she wore it as a choker. It's really a bracelet. She wore it when she opened up the Sands Hotel in 1961.
Wow. That's amazing. So how many, do you have a lot of pieces that are that old and iconic?
I love stuff like that. I collect it archivally. They influence my designs today. They influence everything I do with Kay or the book that I just wrote, Style Your Wedding with Neil Lane. I'm plugging it. Why not?
Yeah,
oh, stationery.
Stationery, wow.
Yeah, Paper Source.
Oh, that's awesome.
So all these jewels, all these archival jewels, they inspire me. They teach me. They're my teacher. I never studied jewelry making, but I studied art.
Yeah.
And like this red and white will inspire me to do a great design for an invitation or for the china at Fortessa, what we're doing.
Yeah.
So all the sparkle, so even the dishes I'm doing, they sparkle.
Yeah.
I'm trying to bring who I am into what I do.
Because Neil Lane, everything you do sparkles.
It really does. Well, I mean, I'm still sparkling right here.
Don't sparkle without your girls.
I'm going to sparkle all day long.
I do want to ask, so a lot of men are wearing more and more bling nowadays. So are you getting just as many men celebrities as you are female celebrities?
You know, that is crazy.
Yeah.
More guys wanted to be jeweled than ever. Nick Cannon just wore, wow, that on his turban.
Wow.
And he looked like a Maharaja. There he is.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Gorgeous.
Anderson, he always wears something on his tux.
Yeah.
Jewel thing. Men are doing it.
Cute.
More and more. Doesn't have to just be Elton John.
Yeah.
You surprisingly aren't wearing any of your diamonds right now.
Oh, my jewels are hidden.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much for joining us, Neil. You here. You guys, Neil's book, it's called Style Your Wedding with Neil Lane. It's available now. Don't forget to catch the E! People's Choice Awards this Sunday night at 9 right here at E! We'll be right back with more Daily Pop after this.
Do I get to keep this?
Can I get it? I know.
Yep.
Is there anything else I should try on? Just
everything,
for fun?
Let's put this guy on.
Okay. Oh, yeah. All right, guys, it's fashion roundup time. The Hollywood Film Awards was the place to be last night. Let's check out some of the looks. Let's start with Nicole Kidman. This was a white dress by Lowe, floral detailing, red shoes. What do we think? Red lip?
I like it. I think it's kind of different for her, and I think the dress is interesting and fun. I haven't seen something like this in a long time. I think it's fresh.
It's fresh
on her.
It's gorgeous. It's a little bridal-y. I mean, super white.
Totally. It's like optic white. Like when you get toothpaste, it's like optic white.
Yeah, I don't hate it, though.
I'm here for it. I like it, even if it is bridally. I think it's cool. I like that the red lip matched the red shoes, and I'm glad that she did a fun color, not just like a safe nude.
Yep.
Yeah,
looks
fun.
Good.
Yeah.
All right, Brie Larson's black velvet and ivory gown. This is Gucci.
I mean, she went to the LACMA event, so it was sponsored by Gucci. I get it. I don't love it. I don't love it. I think like the heart and then the bow, it's just... it's a lot. I think the colors together are really pretty. It's not my favorite. It's not my favorite dress.
I think maybe she could have done something fun and funky with her hair since the dress is fun and funky.
She went
like really classic with the hair. Still super gorgeous. But yeah, I think with an outfit like this, you can
play around a little bit more. Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, and I know Gucci likes to go over the top and always add like funky, fun details just to be different. And I like that. But I agree with you on the heart and the bow being just too much on one ensemble.
It's distracting.
Mm. Charlize Theron showed up in Alexander McQueen.
Ooh. Ooh, like it's sophisticated fashion. I like it.
Yeah.
I like the dress over the pant. I think it's extremely, extremely chic. It's not a look that everybody likes, but I think she pulled it off really
well. Yeah, she looks great.
You know, the last, what was it? I saw her at the Vanity Fair party and she was wearing like, it seems as though lately she's like, I don't want to wear a dress to a red carpet.
She seems cool.
I want to be
edgy, and
I want to be cool and go with my new hair.
It's the hair. The hair is giving her a new sense of empowerment. She's going to rock it in her clothes.
Yes. Yeah, I like it. Okay, Sienna Miller brought some color to the carpet.
Who
is she?
I don't get it. Why is this woman so attractive effortlessly forever? Ever and ever. I think I have not seen her. She always looks good. I have not seen her look this good in a long time. Incredible.
I want to see her in the Rise and Shine music video with that sunshine right there.
I love this look from head to toe. I don't know if her hair's gotten blonder or it just really pops in this photo, but I love it.
She's hot. She doesn't age.
So good. Okay, so we have Harry star Cynthia Erivo. She won Breakout Actress in Versace.
Oh, I love the dress.
Stunning.
I love the pale pink. I do not like the shoe choice. I don't like the hot pink with it, and I like that people do that sometimes. It does not work.
You know what I think? I think it maybe didn't photograph well, the shoe, but I think in person this would be super hot. And I love the detail on the straps. She looks strong.
Oh, wow.
Gorgeous. Dang.
I love everything about this look. I like the funky shoe with it. It goes with her funky style. Like, she's just not predictable, and that's the whole point. Like, I like that. So I think it's cool. Okay. Woo-hoo. We'll be right back with more Daily Pop after this. All right, we're wrapping up with some final thoughts from you on social on Wendy and Nikki's drama. Christina thinks Nikki has reached her breaking point. She says Wendy Williams has said a lot about others before her own stuff came to light. Everyone is going through something, and everyone has done something. Robbie is cheering on Hailey Bieber for coming to Normani's defense. He says, I wish more celebs would go into each other's comments section and clap back at the haters. Go, Hailey. And Danielle says, just when you think you've seen it all and heard it all, kudos to Hailey for defending her friend. She looked gorgeous. That's it for our show. Tomorrow, Kenya Moore is in the house to talk about The Real Housewives of Atlanta. Have a good day, everyone. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the podcast edition of Daily Pop. Remember, we've got a new episode every day. Make sure to subscribe and have a great rest of your day.